Sunday morning worship service. The last time I preached was Father's Day, and David told me that in the near future, he was going to be going to Louisiana, and he asked me to bring the sermon message. I said, I already have one on my heart, but I didn't know it was going to be the Sunday before Thanksgiving, so I didn't get to give that one. I have to give a Thanksgiving message, which I'm delighted to do. We're on the downhill road right into Thanksgiving. It's next week. There's only a couple more days of school, and Black Friday's coming up. There's a lot of cooking to do, a lot of eating to do. Families are leaving to visit others, and families are coming to visit. It's a great time. You know, Christmas is a time when we prepare a list of the things that we want. And New Year's is the time when we prepare a list of the things that we are going to start doing or we're going to stop doing, resolutions. But we don't prepare any list for Thanksgiving where we give thanks, a list of the things that we could give thanks for. The title of this morning's message is No Thanks. It's funny, when I saw David come in, he was not supposed to come in until tonight, and he came in last night. And I saw him this morning, and I said, oh, you're ready to do the message, right? He said, no thanks. So there's my walk right up to this message. The scripture this morning is going to be taken from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Luke chapter 17, starting verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And in the other translations, it says, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. This was a life-changing experience for all 10 of these lepers. It's kind of like we are as Christians. We're outcast from the kingdom of God. There's only one thing that's certain, and that is death, separation. It was a life-changing encounter that they had with Jesus. He went to this town. I think he went out of his way to go to this place on his way to Jerusalem because there were lepers there. And lepers had a horrible disease. And they had no hope. They were essentially dead. They couldn't interface with anyone. And we should never forget where we were before we became Christians. Isaiah 51:1 says, listen to me, all who hope for deliverance, all who seek the Lord. Consider the rock from which you were cut, the quarry from which you were mined. We all came from a place that was like leprosy. Our life was full of sin. That's where God brought us from, and that's what he's done for us. And so this was very significant for these lepers, that Christ had come through this town, and they had an opportunity to call upon him. What's interesting is that even though all 10 of them were cleansed, and that's what the word is used when the leprosy is gone, you are cleansed, not healed. Only one of the 10 came back and said, "Thank you for that." And so I sort of took these other nine, and I thought about what they did. They went on to the priest, because the priest by law was required to examine them to determine, in fact, if they were cleansed or not, if they had recovered enough that they could interface with others. And if you look at these other nine, here's my description of each one of them. One of the nine said, "No thanks." He waited to see if the cure was real. One of the nine said, "No thanks." He wanted to see if it would last. One of the nine said, "No thanks." He decided that he never really had leprosy. And I think about so many Christians who have a horrible health problem and God miraculously heals it. And they say, "Well, I never had it. It was just a spot. It was never there." One of the nine said, "No thanks." He said he would have gotten well anyway. You know, we have colds and we have flu and we have all kinds of sickness. Nobody gives thanks when God's healed them from a common cold or the flu. And yet, God does that. One of the nine said, "No thanks." He gave glory to the priest. One of the nine said, "No thanks." Jesus really didn't do anything. One of the nine said, "Well, any rabbi could have healed me." And then there was one who returned back to Jesus and gave thanks. Rudyard Kipling was the Nobel Peace winner for, not peace, but prize winner for literature in 1907. He wrote a number of books and articles about India and Burma and that part of the world. And there was a reporter, a newspaper reporter, who came to him and said that he had calculated how much money he had made from all his writings. And it equated to approximately $100 per word of everything that he had written. He made $100 for every word. And the reporter pulled out from his wallet a $100 bill. And he took it over in Kipling's pocket and he said, "Now, give me $100 word." And Rudyard Kipling said, "Thanks." That was, and that is $100 word. In fact, I would say that the word thanks is $1 million word, because it's so forgotten, it's not used, it's rarely spoken of, seldom heard. This morning when the elders were together praying, one of them said he had been stopped by a highway patrol going through Pipe Creek too fast. And I like to pick on people in speed. And the highway patrolman gave him a warning ticket for speeding. You know, I worry about these people who speed because I'm out on the roads. I don't want one of them to lose control. And I said, "Well, Brother Elder, did you give thanks to the Lord for this?" He said, "No, but I thank the highway patrolman for the warning ticket." So, it is $1 million word. And I want to share some truths to you from the scripture this morning. I want you to look at these lepers' condition. The horrors of leprosy. It's a horrible disease, and there's pain. And you have this stigma about you where you're not allowed to be around people. It's one of the most feared diseases worldwide. Leprosy exists today, in fact. Between 500 and 1500 AD, up until 500 years ago, if you had leprosy, you were required to attend a funeral and make-believe burial service for yourself because you were as good as dead. The Bible provided that if you had leprosy, the law said you have to separate yourself from people, you have to live away, and if anyone comes near you, you have to holler, unclean, unclean, so that they won't come close to you and contact this dreaded disease. They had to cover their face. And you know, if you can't see a person, you talk to a person on the telephone and it's not very intimate at all, but you talk to a person eyeball to eyeball, face to face, and there's a lot of intimacy. We're called to seek the face of God, and that means to seek His presence. The word face and the word presence have a very similar meaning in Scripture. They lost their work, they lost their family, they lost their friends. They had no choice except to live and to die a horrible death alone. They were unclean. If you look at Scripture, you could almost say that God brought leprosy on people as a form of punishment. We know that He doesn't do that. We know that I'm not trying to equate sin with leprosy. We get sick because we take things into our body and we're in areas and where we were going to get sick. We can hand it from one person to another. But the Jews believed that God was punishing you for some sin in your life, and it was His pleasure for some particular sin for Him to punish you. And so you lost everything. Now, they had to be far off. They had to be at least 100 paces from anyone. 100 paces is a long way off. That's not scriptural, but that's what the rabbis and the Pharisees taught, at least 100 paces away. So they couldn't even be close to Jesus. And here He comes into this town, and they cry out to Him to have mercy on Him, on them. We are outcasts. We are isolated from a true intimacy with God. We lose everything. David, as you were talking about your uncle, we lose everything to sin. It eats us up. It destroys us. It destroys our bodies. It's because of a sin nature that we have. It destroys our minds. And the final wage, if you want to call it that, is death. The wages of sin is death. Well, these lepers cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." That's all they could do. There was no cure for leprosy. There was no physician that they could go to that could help them. And so whether they were asking Jesus for a cleansing or whether they were asking Him just to have mercy because they were sinners, Scripture doesn't tell us. But they cried out. And in their cry, Jesus responded. Well, we think that we are sufficient, self-sufficient, able to handle our own lives. And the truth is, we were born helpless and hopeless into this world because we live a life that's filled with sin and we please Satan. We are condemned by sin. Like the lepers, we couldn't stop our own destruction. But yet all we have to do is cry out for mercy. Because mercy is not getting what you deserve. And because of our sins, we deserve death. And so we cry out, and we've cried out, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And their only hope was in this man, Jesus. Everything had come down to this moment with their encounter with Jesus, and Jesus had compassion on them. And He said, "Just go, as the Scriptures say, and present yourselves to the priest, and they will look at you and determine if you have been cleansed or not." And what the priest actually did was, if your skin was white and your hair was white and there were no sores on you, then he could say, you have been cleansed, you have overcome this disease. But if you had sores, and often they lost their legs and their limbs because of the infections and the disease and the bleeding of the flesh, it was just like rotten, then you could not be pronounced cleansed. And so they decided to go. All 10 of them went toward the priest. Well, why didn't Jesus just say, you're asking me to have mercy on you? I have mercy on you. You've been cleansed. You have been healed. No, it was a matter of faith that he asked every one of us to do. You'll remember a man named Naaman. Naaman was a Syrian, and he had leprosy. And Elijah said, you have to go to the Jordan River, and you have to bathe yourselves 7 times if you want to be cleansed. And he laughed at the prophet. But you know what? His leprosy didn't leave. And finally, he went to the River Jordan, and he bathed himself 7 times, and his leprosy left. There was a man who was lame, and Jesus said, get up and walk. Now, if you don't have faith, you're not going to get up. But this man got up, and he walked, and he leaped. There was one who was blind, and he prepared mud for him to put on his eyes with his spittle. We have to do something. These lepers had to go. They had to believe what Jesus said, and they had to go. And we have to do something. We have to believe what God's Word says, and we have to go to Jesus. And we have to ask him to have mercy on us, sinners. Well, when they began their journey, they were cleansed. They were healed of leprosy. And what's significant is that one of the 10 acted differently than the rest. He didn't follow Jesus' order. Jesus said, go to the priest. 9 of them went to the priest. This man went part way, and he stopped, and he turned around, and he came back. He says that he glorified God, and he came to Jesus, and he gave him thanks. Why did this man act differently than the others? They had all been cleansed. I don't know why Jesus sent him to the priest. Maybe for the priest to see here's 10 men who are coming that have all been cleansed miraculously. Maybe they would understand who Jesus was and the power that he had, that he was the Son of God. Or maybe it was for the 9 or the 10 to see how powerful God was in their lives. But there's a difference. These 9 were healed by the power of God, but the one was healed by his faith in Christ. Why did he go back? He knew that God had blessed him. He knew that. He knew he'd been healed. He knew he could look at his own skin and see that it was pure and like a baby skin. It was perfect. And there was no doubt in his mind that he had been healed. And so he took the time to note that he had been blessed. I wonder in our lives if we recognize that God has blessed us. That he has given us something for which he simply wants us to say, thank you, Lord. I've told the story about when Ken Vackey and I went out to, when he was a rancher, taking care of raising cattle. There was an old John Deere tractor that wouldn't start. He asked me to go out there and help him to get it started. We went out somewhere back in the woods and the hills, and here was this old tractor sitting beside this barn, and he had run an extension cord from the barn to a battery charger to keep the battery charged. And we got there, and as far as we knew, the cattle had eaten the extension cord in half. And so there was certainly the battery was dead, and his extension cord was ruined. And Ken Vackey said, thank you, Lord. I was shocked. This was 15 years ago when I first met Ken Vackey, because one of his favorite scriptures is, give thanks in all things. And by the way, he doesn't give thanks in all things, nor do I. But he did for this, and it was, you know, I thought, why would he do that? What was the purpose? You know, we live and move and breathe. In fact, every breath that we have is a gift from God. And so you want to make a list of the things to give thanks, for which to give thanks. Every time you take a breath, every time your heart beats, you could write that down. That's how important and how loving our Lord is. He gives us life. I don't know when your uncle's going to pass away, David, but every breath that he takes is a gift. He could take him out like that, just in a moment's notice. We don't want that to happen until he recognizes who you are. So we have been blessed, and we should give thanks. Well, not only did he know that he had been cleansed, but he knew that he needed to give thanks. He had been healed, he stopped, he turned, and he was told to go to the priest, but he stopped, and he went back to Jesus. Why didn't Jesus rebuke him for that? Man, I told you to go to the priest, and you're not following. How can I do something for you when you're not obedient to me? Well, this man realized that there was a priority in his life, and that was a priority of gratitude, a priority of being thankful. Just as Ken stopped right there and said, "Thank you, Lord," there's a time to give thanks. And I'm afraid that we miss that time very often. There was a higher calling that must come first. He had to go back and say, "Jesus, thank you for healing me. Now I'll go to the priest." He owed Jesus that, and he stopped and he gave him that. Well, the most important difference between this man and the other nine is that he was a changed person. When he drew near to the Lord, he glorified God. He came to Jesus and he fell down before him in perfect submission, and he praised God and he gave thanks. And what did Jesus say? Weren't there 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? And he told this man, "Rise up and go. Your faith has made you well." This man's faith, and we live by faith. And so there was something that this man received from Jesus besides a physical cleansing of his leprosy. I believe, and I think there are other commentators who would agree with me, that this man received, he had a saving faith in Jesus Christ. And so his soul was saved. The spirit was quickened. He became alive. And I believe that he lived to tell many people about that. He had faith not only to be healed, but he blessed people because he blessed God. There are a lot of people who are blessed. I'll tell you that every person, including your uncle, is blessed every day of their lives. There's not a person in here that is naked or hungry. And God provides every need that we have. Other than those two things, there is nothing that you need. And yet we don't even give thanks for that. We have a lot, and we see someone with more, and we want more. We have our car, and we see a new one, and we want more. We see we have clothes, and we see later styles, and we want more. We seem to never be satisfied with what we have. And we should give thanks for every shirt that's on our back and every bite of food that goes into our mouth. Those are gifts from God. And so we are all blessed, but not all of us follow Christ. This man's thankful heart responded in faith, and he was perfected as a disciple of the Lord. This Thanksgiving, remember, we've taken a day out of the work week, we've taken a day out of the school week, even though it's become 3 or 4 days now. When I went to school, we got off Thursday and went to school on Friday. Can you imagine how horrible that was. You have to get off, you know, on Thursday, but you have to go to school on Friday. And yet, just like Christmas, what does it mean? There's only three countries in the world that celebrate Thanksgiving: the United States, Canada, and the Philippines. Can you imagine if all the countries in the world decided to set one day aside to give thanks to God for how He has blessed them? I think it would eliminate a lot of the strife and the war that goes on. Mark, why don't you bring your praise team back up, and we will close.